So we're chatting with Scott Hamway. Scott is the Director of Bus Modernization for the MBTA to talk specifically about a virtual meeting that's coming up this Wednesday evening regarding plans to convert the old Lowe's Home Improvement Store on the Bergen Parkway here in Quincy into a bus maintenance facility. So Mr. Hamway, nice to chat with you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity, Joseph. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Unfortunately, it can't be in person, and your meeting on Wednesday can't be in person either due to the pandemic, but we're able to do it this way and get information out there. Is this kind of a follow-up to the meeting that was held in January?
Yes. Well, yes and no. So the meeting in January was a meeting, it was a community meeting hosted by City Councilor Brian Palmucci, who had invited us out to kind of present on our plans. So that wasn't really our meeting, but it was obviously about our facility and about our plans. And there was a lot of good feedback and a lot of really important questions that were raised at that meeting. And we always knew we wanted to come back out kind of with our own MBTA kind of hosted meeting and had intended to do that earlier than now and in person. And I think we've kind of been holding off. We held off for a month or two in the hopes that we'd have an opportunity to do it face to face, because I think that's community process works best when you're in the same room with folks. And we eventually got to the point where we realized it was more important to kind of get back out there in this kind of suboptimal format just to kind of share an update with folks, so we didn't go too far along without giving the opportunity for the community to kind of weigh in and hear some feedback from us. So
for people who might not be familiar with the proposal, could you kind of give us an outline as to what the plans are?
Sure. Yeah. So the MBTA, you know, we have 1,000 buses system-wide. We have 9 bus maintenance facilities where we store and maintain those buses system-wide. The one in Quincy today is on Hancock Street. And the Quincy facility is kind of a unique one within the network in that it really serves almost all the routes there are Quincy routes. It's really almost like a local garage, whereas some of our other garages closer into town serve a bigger kind of geography and multiple neighborhoods. That facility is sort of structurally obsolete, where we're kind of getting to a point where we're not going to be able to store and maintain any of the new modern buses that we've been buying over the last 10 years there. So we've been looking for the past couple of years for a location where we could build a new facility. Because there are things that make rebuilding the facility at Hancock Street either kind of infeasible or impractical. So we've been looking for a new site that gives us some room to grow and allows us to kind of start to serve Quincy with the sort of cleanest and newest vehicles that we're buying and that we're offering in other parts of the network. So the Lowe's property at 599 Bergen Parkway became vacated by Lowe's, I think, about 18 months ago. That was at a time where we were kind of evaluating different alternative locations. So that really moved very quickly to the top of our list. It's really the right size. It's really well located relative to where bus service in Quincy operates. So we've been interested in it, and we were kind of doing our kind of due diligence. That's when I think there started to be some public awareness through the Ledger about the project, which is what led to Councillor Palmucci suggesting we come out and kind of give the community an update. So since then, we've been advancing kind of design work at the same time that we've been, advancing plans to ultimately acquire the property so we could build a facility here. And our hope would be to have that facility open in 2024.
What would it actually look like, Mr. Hamway? What would the actual building, you know, be? Would you use the building that's there now, or tear that down and build a different one?
So we would tear it down and build a new one. The site, the property that Lowe's is on, is kind of divided into two halves by the town brook, which runs kind of underneath through the middle of the site in a culvert. So similar to Lowe's, we would manage the site the same way, kind of governed by the location of that feature, which is we'd have our employee parking on the west side of the site, which is where the Lowe's customer parking was. And then our building would be on the same side of the site that the Lowe's property was on. So our building is roughly the same size. It's a little bit bigger because there was some of that sort of like open air garden center areas that Lowe's had that weren't fully enclosed. We'll be kind of in that space as well, but within a fully enclosed building. And then we'll be a little bit taller because we're gonna have a top level of office space on the top level for MBTA office space. The building, you know, we're shooting for something that looks kind of like a, you know, like an office type building, at least from the community side, the backside of the building. There's going to be a lot of windows and a lot of glass, at least on a couple sides of the facility. We're going to show some very preliminary renderings at the public meeting on Wednesday to give folks an idea of what we're shooting for. It's really early in the process, so we're not saying this is exactly what it'll look like, but I think there's a real, we recognize there's a real desire for the community to understand where we're trying to go with this. So we think it makes sense to show something that's preliminary, even though we know we run the risk that this will be the images that'll get shown in every news article about the garage for the next, 5 years, even if our plans, evolve.
What would actually be happening in the facility, and how many vehicles would you be servicing?
So we use these facilities to store and maintain our buses. Unlike most of our other facilities, as part of this program, which Quincy's the first garage, as part of this program, we're committing to having all of our storage and maintenance activities happen indoors. So if you go to other facilities that we have, we've got buses kind of parked all over the place outside, even some work happening kind of in open air spaces. We've sort of committed to moving forward, having all of our facilities be fully enclosed. It's a better work environment for our employees. It's a better certainly in winter conditions for our buses, and then clearly better for neighboring communities if we're fully enclosed. So inside that building, we'd be fueling buses, washing buses, both exterior and interior. We'd be doing all but the heaviest maintenance would be taking place in those facilities. We have a facility in Everett if there's a real significant, like a crash or something where we need to do significant repair work on the body of a bus. But most of the standard maintenance work would happen at this facility. And then we store them overnight or in off-peak times in the facility as well. The current Hancock Street Garage has 86 buses. We're looking as part of this program to always try to expand whenever we can, because our ability to run more bus service at rush hour when at least pre-COVID-19 there was crowding and people standing in uncomfortable conditions on our buses, we're always looking to expand the size of those facilities, because that was a barrier to us adding more service. We just didn't have enough room in any of our garages to add buses. So we're going to build a facility that is ideally sized for 120 buses. So that's a good increase over the 86. It actually, we think we could operate it with 135 buses, which is a lot more than we would envision Quincy needing in the near future. But we know these facilities end up sticking around for a long time, and so when we go through our environmental permitting process, we're actually going to permit it and do all the analyses as if we were running 135 buses out of here, even though that's unlikely to be the condition anytime in the near future. Just so that we're being as conservative as we can when we're thinking about, traffic impacts or circulation within the building or outside the building.
Speaking of traffic impacts, that was one of the concerns brought up at the January meeting. I think it was primarily traffic, noise, pollution. So have those been addressed, and will they be talked about on Wednesday evening?
Yeah, so we'll talk about those. We do have to do some fairly thorough analysis on all of those fronts as part of our state and federal environmental permitting process. So we'll be reporting some of the information from that at the meeting, and we'll be able to answer questions. On the traffic front, the bus facility would generate less traffic on a 24-hour kind of daily basis than the Lowe's property did in terms of number of trips. Similar to the Lowe's property, there won't be as much of an impact on like peak period travel, the same way like an office building might have, right? Or our residential facility. But we recognize that we will be increasing traffic at certain times earlier in the morning before the rush hour as buses are going out into service, middle of the day when buses are coming back or heading out for the evening service, and then early in the evening when a lot of our buses are coming back to the facility after rush hour. So we're going to do the best job we can to kind of quantify all those things. But on an overall daily basis, it will be, we're projecting that it'll be less traffic than the Lowe's, and we don't see a significant kind of peak period impact, which is what a lot of people are concerned about, is what happens to those intersections that get clogged up. Our buses kind of need to be out there serving people before that sort of peak traffic condition happens.
Would the current entrance and exit remain the same?
Yeah, so the current entrance, that's the Lowe's entrance, that would be our primary access point for our buses to kind of come in and out of the facility. We do need a second means of access to the facility. So as part of that, we've been designing a second point of access at the northern end of the site. So that would be a new feature associated with this facility. It's essentially an extension of Columbia Street on that side of the building, bringing that out to Bergen Parkway and creating a new signalized intersection there. We don't want that to be a cut through through the neighborhood. There's a residential community on Penn Street there that I think it had concerns in the past about that. And I think certain things were done when the Lowe's was built to kind of address that concern. And we very much don't want to create that condition either. So this is going to be something we're in conversations with the city about how to make that a kind of restricted access roadway, and what's the best way to kind of ensure that it truly is a restricted access roadway. So, but that would be another means of entrance and egress for both our employees coming to work at the facility and then our buses as well.
About how many people would work in the building, do you know?
So I actually, off the top of my head, I don't have that number, Joseph, okay. But I could probably find it on my computer while we're talking. I do have that in the presentation, but it's 120 buses. I think at our current Hancock Street facility, we may have somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 mechanics. So, you know, you scale that number up, you've probably got 40 or 50 mechanics. I apologize to anyone listening if I'm getting this number wildly wrong. We've got, again, 120 buses. So that's going to be a number north of that in terms of how many operators we're going to be having. But they're not all going to be going, you know, they're obviously not all going to be going to work at the same time. The parking lot can accommodate 235 vehicles, which is more than we would, more than we need just for our bus drivers and our mechanics. But will require us to get any employees of that office space or some percentage of the employees of that office space to be coming to work via the red line, which we would hope, given that's right across the street.
And are these existing buses that you'll be housing or new buses?
Yeah, so right now the only buses we can store and maintain at Hancock Street are buses that were purchased in 2009 or earlier. So these are buses that are already 11 years old. So by the time 2024 rolls around, these will be buses that'll be 14, 15 years old, which means they're kind of getting to that point where you're going to start to probably run into reliability issues and you're going to need to replace that fleet soon. So that the problem right now with Hancock Street is the vertical clearance within the garage does not allow us to actually maintain anything other than that oldest vintage of buses. What's happened is our bus fleet has become low floor buses to accommodate wheelchair access on our vehicles. A lot of mechanical equipment went up on top of the roof of the bus. So the buses actually have a higher vertical profile now than buses built in 2009 or before. And even with those older buses, we have an image we show in the presentation. In order to maintain them, we can't actually jack them up all at once. We need to kind of tip them one end up at a time in order to kind of thread them through the obstructions above. Our expectation is that by the time this facility opens, we'll be looking to replace that fleet, and which would set Quincy up to get, you know, the newest buses that we're procuring. Which right now we're starting to, we're investing in diesel hybrid buses. These are buses that are much cleaner than the buses we run out of Quincy today. We're able to actually run them on the battery off the engine for an increasing amount of time on their trips. I think up to as much as 25% of their runtime can be off engine now, which is great for noise. It's great for pollution, of course. And the long term plan is to move to battery electric bus technology. So the T has made a commitment to move towards a zero emissions bus fleet. So all of these facilities that we're building, in addition to them being entirely indoor facilities, they're also going to be facilities that can accommodate a conversion to battery electric bus technology. Even though right now we're not optimistic that technology will be quite ready by 2024. We're piloting a couple buses right now in Roxbury. We have 5 buses that we're piloting with that technology. And what we're finding is during the very cold days, we're losing a lot of the charge that we charge up overnight. We're using, we're getting about 30% of the range or the miles we can travel on a winter day compared to like a warm day. So that's an issue that, you know, right now we wouldn't want to commit to an exclusive battery electric bus fleet while that's the situation. But the battery technology is improving, and I think that, you know, we're hoping that it's not going to be too far off after the opening that we could start to buy battery electric buses. And the Quincy facility will be the only one in the network that can accommodate an entire fleet of those when it opens, which sets Quincy up to be, you know, the first place to get the really clean, really quiet battery electric buses.
Will there be an actual bus stop at this new facility? Can folks, you know, board and get off right there?
Yeah, we have a couple of routes that do stop right across the street at Quincy Adams. Okay. But yeah, no, this is not, it's not, I think just really because the red line's right there, it's not envisioned as a place that's going to have high, you know, bus demand to kind of board a bus right at that location. But we are actually within the next month, we should have a crew out there actually making improvements to that intersection, the intersection between Quincy Adams Station and the Deco Apartments and the Lowe's. Making it safer for pedestrian crossings, restriping the crosswalks, putting in new signage, having the sort of lead pedestrian interval, which gives the pedestrians, you know, a couple seconds before the green light hits for traffic, which is a real safety improvement for pedestrians. So we are making some improvements there that'll make it easier for, you know, current residents and people using the site to get over to Quincy Adams.
Sure. Is there an actual, do you have a price tag on this project, Mr. Hamway? Is there a cost estimate right now?
Yeah. So we're really early in the design process. So cost estimates, you know, right now are you know, likely to kind of move around a lot. We build in a lot of contingency at this stage of development. We haven't done one of these in a long time either. The average age of our facilities is 54 years old, and this one's been in some form or another of transportation use since the first decade of the 20th century.
Right.
But yeah, this is a facility that almost certainly is going to be north of $200 million to construct. So it's a big investment for the MBTA. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, why we do have so many old facilities. They're not inexpensive facilities to kind of rebuild. And in most cases, we're not, you know, we're not in a position to kind of necessarily move to a new site to rebuild them. That was something where we were fortunate that this Lowe's property became available, particularly given the challenges that we'd face if we were trying to rebuild at Hancock Street.
So if we talk about the actual meeting coming up on Wednesday, the virtual meeting, we should remind folks, I believe it's at 5:30 in the afternoon. How will it work?
Right. So the way it works, and folks can go to, if folks go to mbta.com/events, you can scroll down to the June 24th date and find a link that will take you to all the information for the meeting. The way it's going to work is we'll start at 5:30 and I will give a presentation that I will attempt to keep to under a half an hour, where I will run through slides that kind of talk about our overall program goals, talk about the meeting back in January and try to respond to some of the issues that were raised there, and then kind of give an update on what our thinking is and what some of our planning work has done around the site, and then talk about next steps. So I'll do that. And then, and this is my first time doing it as well, but the plan would be that folks within that meeting will have a couple different features within the web conference tool we're using, which is GoToWebinar, where they can either, there's a feature where they can press a button that effectively raises their hand and shows that they want to make a comment. And it also, and then from our end, it does that in order. We can tell who raised their hand and in what order. So we can call on people in sequence. There's also a questions feature. So if somebody doesn't want to actually have their audio turned on and actually ask the question audibly, they can just type in a question and then I can read the question out to attendees and then answer it. So I think what we'll do is, yeah, we'll do the presentation. We'll then probably try to hold the questions till the end, unless it's a technical question where someone's having trouble with their web conference interface, and then try to run through the answers in order. And then because it's a virtual meeting and because we're not tied to a physical meeting space, where we figure it makes sense to give folks the opportunity to participate outside of that 5:30 to 7 p.m. Time frame. So I'm actually going to be recording the presentation in advance, And we'll be posting that to our website probably a day beforehand. I don't know exactly the time on Tuesday, but at some point Tuesday, the presentation should be uploaded. And you'd be able to kind of consume the presentation and then submit questions via email in advance. And then on Wednesday, when I'm giving the presentation live and answering questions, I will also pull up the questions that came in the day before and answer those as well.
Will you be able to reply, email back to questions if folks can't actually be at the actual meeting?
Yeah, certainly we can do that. And I've got actually, when I got off this interview, Joseph, I have a couple emails that have come in from Quincy residents about the project that I want to try to get back to them before this airs on Monday and before our meeting next Wednesday. So yes, people can always email and we'll always respond. But I think that, if time allows, we'd like to try to respond in the meeting as well. So everybody participating can kind of hear the questions and answers. In addition to kind of getting back to them.
Sure. And will the meeting, once it's completed, will it be also posted on the website?
Yeah, so we're recording. I know there's a recording feature on GoToWebinar, so I assume we'll be recording it and then putting the whole thing up there again. So this is my first time doing it, so I'm assuming that's all gonna work well. It should make our life easier as far as kind of documenting what happened at the meeting. And I don't know what'll happen to the pre-recorded version. Won't have my face on it, so some people might prefer to just go to the thing I'm recording for Tuesday's publication. But yeah, we should have everything saved and up on the website.
Great, and I want to remind folks also that we here at Quincy Access Television will be carrying the meeting live on our channels beginning at 5:30 on Wednesday afternoon, and then replayed on television. In the days afterwards as well. They could go to our website. QATV.org to get that schedule. But we're happy to be able to bring it live to the community for folks who don't have internet access.
That's great. Yeah. And I know you were there last time, and I think that's really great. I mean, ideally we'd be out there in person. I think it's always better to kind of hear people, face to face and have those conversations. So I do feel bad that we're not able to do that this go around, and we certainly at the MBTA commit to coming out, whenever there's a community meeting, if there's a tenants association meeting that people want us to come out and give an update on the project. I'm committed to doing that, once it's safe for all of us to be able to get together in the same space.
Obviously. Right. So what is the timeline after the Wednesday meeting, Mr. Hamway? What happens then?
So early in the summer, sort of over the next month, we should be, filing our environmental review documents to both the state and federal government agencies that review those. So that will, there'll be a sort of public, there's usually like a public comment period associated with those. And those documents would become public and on our website. So that'll be happening over the summer. We are moving through what we call the 30% design process. We're at about 15% design. We'll be moving to the 30% design process in the fall. So we're in the process of procuring a designer to take the project all the way through 100% final design, and that would be another kind of year beyond the 30% design, and then the plan would be to break ground on construction in early 2022, and that's about a 30-month construction cycle, which would have us opening in mid 2024. Somewhere in there, we need to obviously still acquire the property. Although the MBTA last month did take control of the Lowe's site through a lease that we've entered into with the current leaseholder. That's for other uses, not our bus program, but our sort of capital acceleration for the Quincy Adams Red Line Garage. We identified that as a kind of a logical site for overflow parking. Obviously, Red Line ridership where it is today, we don't need that, but the expectation is that we'll hopefully get back and it'll allow us to be able to advance that garage project more quickly and shut down more of it by having that overflow parking. And the T has sort of like perpetual capital spare parts needs, as some of it associated with the new red and orange line cars we're buying. So the Lowe's building, which now that it's vacant, it's this really kind of pristine open warehouse. It's a really great site for storage. So we'll be storing some things in there, in the near term. But the long term plan is to acquire the site for this garage.
Good. Anything else you think is important that we should share right now?
Nothing that comes to mind. I'm gonna try to continue to kind of prepare for the meeting on Wednesday. Apologize for any questions I wasn't able to answer today in the interview, Joseph. But this is a good warm up for me as I look ahead to Wednesday. So I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Happy to do it. Happy to let folks know. Again, it's Wednesday, June 24th, 5:30, virtually through mbta.com, I guess, and try and find it from there.
Yeah, and one other thing if you go to mbta.com/events, you'll find it. One other thing to mention is that I think when the Ledger ran an article on the meeting a few days back, I think they may have had 6:30 in there as the start time. Erroneously, so we let them know, and I think they may have run a correction, but that's just something to let your viewers know that if they're looking at the paper and they see 6:30, it is at 5:30 on Wednesday.
Great. And again, live here at QATV as well for folks who can't access the internet. So great to talk to you, Mr. Hamway. Really appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.